Okay. Genesis 1:21 says what? 1:2, excuse me. Genesis 1:2. One and one says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. The next phrase says, and the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. Jesus taught in John 4:24, Jesus said to the woman at the well, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, open your Bibles to the Gospel of John. Now, the Gospel of John stands alone in that it is different from all the rest of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels. They cover the same territory. John presents Jesus as to who he really is, as God. And so John said in John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time, because you can't see a spirit. Okay, we'll read the rest of it. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now, the begotten Son means that he was conceived. He was born. Okay, Galatians 4:4 says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. All right, and so Jesus, what does he do? No man has seen God at any time. Okay, but the only born Son has declared him. When was he born? He was born in Bethlehem after 9 months gestation period, after the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and she conceived. That child that was born is called the Son of God because he was born into time. Time. Okay. Now, John 4:24, God's a spirit. Genesis 1:2, the Spirit of the Lord moved over the face of the waters. Deuteronomy 6:4, which I believe all of you know. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Say, one Lord. Okay. Ephesians 4:4-5, Apostle Paul said, one Lord. Deuteronomy 6:4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Ephesians 4:5-6, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Sixth verse says, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. How many have the Holy Ghost today? You know what you have in you? Your body is the temple of God. And yet the Holy Ghost is called the Spirit of Christ. Because Paul said there's one body and one spirit. Now, we know there's all kinds of evil spirits in the world, but we're talking about God. One God is a spirit. There's one body and one spirit. Okay. Now, John 1:1, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I need a volunteer here. Come here, brother Dominic. Just stand right here. Say something, brother.
Amen. Or amen.
That's good.
God is good.
You heard him say that, didn't you? Did you see anybody else standing beside him? You cannot separate Brother Dominic from his word. Okay, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now, that's all I needed you for. You cannot separate your word from who you are. Okay? Now, our English word, W-R-D, comes from a Greek word that's called logos, L-O-G-O-S. It means thought, plan, purpose, intent. In the beginning, God had a plan, a purpose, a thought, an intent. And that thought, plan, and purpose was God Himself. Now, when you read John 1:14, it says, "And the Word," or God's thought, plan, intent, purpose, "was made flesh." It wasn't something different than God. It was God revealing Himself to fleshly men in the only way we could understand, flesh. The Bible says in Hebrews 2, "For verily He took not on Him," notice the word, "He took not on Him," oh, I can't even quote that. Boy, having these brain burps. You guys got to pray for me. Jesus, help us, God. If I lose my mind, I might as well just die. And so you pray that if I'm going to lose my mind, I just die suddenly, would you? I'm serious. I'm serious. I don't want to be sitting around slobbered in a chair somewhere. Just take me out of here. Okay. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Pinch yourself. Did you feel that? Did it hurt? Maybe, depend on how hard you squeeze. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself took part of the same. Who are we talking about? God. The Word, John 1:14, the Word or God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld, that means to see, we beheld His glory as of the only begotten, only born of the Father, full of grace and truth. Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, says He took not on Him the nature of Abraham, but He took upon Him flesh. All right. I'm trying to quote two verses here, and they're not going together. I can't remember the other bus. But anyway, so the Word or God became flesh and dwelt among us. Consequently, we beheld His glory, and it was full of grace and truth. All right. Now, we're going to be going from the Old Testament to the New Testament. All right. Some people said the Old Bible. I'm going to tell you, you really cannot understand the New Testament if you don't read the Old Testament. All right, let's look at in Isaiah, the 40th chapter, in the 9th verse. Now, the context is, this is the prophecy of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. It talks about what he's going to say and do. All right, but I want you to look at verse 9 in that context. He says in Isaiah 49, "O Zion," now that's a term for Jerusalem, "O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God." Bear in mind that the message of John the Baptist was, "Prepare ye in the wilderness a highway for our God." Okay? And so the writer of Isaiah says to Jerusalem, "Behold," which means to see, "your God." Now, let's keep a marker there in Isaiah. Now, on that one, let's go to the Gospel of John and the 20th chapter of John. This is after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. Jesus is appearing to the disciples, and He appears to them at different times. And this particular, the previous occasion when Jesus appeared to the disciples, Thomas was not there. You miss something when you miss church. God may be wanting to help you out, but if you just, "Well, I don't feel good, I'm going to stay home tonight. I don't need to go." You may be hurting yourself. Thomas missed church. And so they said, "He's risen." They said, And what did he's called Doubting Thomas, right? Right? He got that moniker, and so it just stuck. But Thomas, they said, Thomas, Jesus is risen from the dead. And Thomas said, I will not believe until I put my fingers in the scars of his hand and my hand in the wound in his side. I will not believe. So, in John 20, remember here, this is connected with Isaiah 49, behold your God. In John 20, verse 27 and 28, let's see what happens here. Then said he to Thomas, this is Jesus, reach hither thy finger and put it, behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. What did Thomas say? And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Now, if Jesus is not absolutely God, Jesus would have had to say to Thomas, oh, no, 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 you're blaspheming. No, no, no. I'm just the Son of God. No. He did not stop him because Thomas was declaring his faith. He had the revelation. He got it. Jesus is God alone. Okay. Now, let's go a little further. We're trying to put this in a perspective here. Remember, Isaiah said, behold your God. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Oh, he was lying. No, he wasn't. He was declaring who Jesus is. Now, let's allow God to give us a self-revelation. God will reveal himself. Now, we're going to go from Isaiah to the New Testament. All right. Isaiah 41:4 says, who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning. I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am He. Who can declare the end from the beginning? God said, I'm the first and the last. Okay. Now, having said that, open your Bible to Revelation 1:11. God said He is the first and the last. All right, let's see how that holds up. Revelation 1:11 says, saying, 1:10 says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega. Now, what does that mean? How many can say A and Z? What does that mean when you say A and Z in that context? The English alphabet has 26 letters. The first one is A and the last one is Z. The Greek alphabet has 22. And he says Alpha is A. Omega is the Z. And so this voice that spoke to John behind him, it said it was like a trumpet. Trumpet said in verse 11, I am Alpha and Omega, he said. I'm the A to Z. And everything in between. Okay. Saying, I'm Alpha and Omega. Now, wait on. The first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book. And go on, we can read. He's writing this in 11 letters. But the point I want you to get is, God in Isaiah 41 4 said, I am the first and I'm the last. That's God. In Revelation, it's Jesus talking. And he said, I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the first and the last. What is Jesus? What do you get in the picture? God was manifest in the flesh. And he is without hesitation. You say, well, if Jesus was God, why didn't he come out and just plainly say it? He did. You got to think in the Jewish mind. We're Westerners out here. The Jewish people have been taught, hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, is one Lord. And one day they were stoning Jesus. They were going to take up stones to stone Jesus. You know, people that hold to tradition. When you bring truth, they get mad. Sometimes. And they took up stones to stone Jesus. And Jesus said, "For what good work are you stoning me for?" And they said, "We're not stoning you for any good work that you've done. But we're stoning you because you're a man and you make yourself God." They got it backwards. God made himself man. You get it? The Word, the plan, intent, and purpose of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so Jesus very plainly told the Jews who he is. An example is the man that had the palsy and they let him down out of the roof. And Jesus looked at the man and he said to the men that let him down, "Great is your faith." And he spoke to the man that had the palsy. He probably had Hodgkin's disease. Jesus said to the man, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And the Jews said, "He's blaspheming." Jesus said, "What's the matter with you, sir?" "Only God can forgive sins." "Hey, dummy, wake up and smell the coffee." He said, "Which is easier to say, thy sins for be given thee, or take up thy bed and walk?" But he said, "I did this so you'd know who I am. Take up your bed and walk." Only God can forgive sins. What are we getting? A revelation. God says, "I am the first and the last." Isaiah 41:4. In the New Testament, Jesus says, "I am the first and the last." Not only that, I'm A and Z too. Okay, now, a little further. All right. Let's look at Isaiah 44 on that. We'll come back to that verse 44 again. But in Isaiah 44, on the same theme, he says this in verse 6. Isaiah 44:6 says this. "Thus saith the Lord." In your Bible, it's all capitals. That's called the Tetragrammaton. It appears in the Bible, in the Old Testament, 6,800 times. Okay? "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel." Not only is he the Lord, he's the King. What's the King? The head honcho. The big enchilada. I'm not being sacrilegious. I just want you to understand. He's talking, he's letting them know. "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel." And not only that, and his Redeemer. He's the one that bought us back. How did God buy us back? At Calvary. Calvary. "The Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. And beside me there is no God." The King, the Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, he is the Lord. And beside him there is no God. And one place in Isaiah asked a question, "Is there a God beside me? I know not any." Now God is omniscient. He knows everything. And if he don't know there's no God beside him, then brother, there ain't no God beside him. Okay. Are you with me? Now let's go down a little further than that 44. Let's look at verse 8. It says, 44:8. "Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? There is no God. I know not any." You just ought to underline that right there. You need to highlight that. And so this God in the Old Testament is the first and the last. In the New Testament, the first and the last is Jesus. Okay? Why? He is God manifest in flesh. Spirit become flesh. And we'll talk about how that happened a little bit later on if we get there. All right, let's look at Isaiah 42. And 8. 42:8 says, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Now, Pastor Fisher preached the other day on this subject, and he preached that God is a jealous God. I don't have to bring that verse to you. God is a jealous God. And so this jealous God said, I am the Lord. Again, that's a tetragrammaton. It's all in capitals. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. All right? We've already read what Thomas said when he saw Jesus after his resurrection. Jesus said, here's my hands and here's my side. Thomas says, my Lord and my God. This jealous God would not share his glory with anybody. And when God was in the flesh and Thomas recognized him and said, you are my Lord and my God, Jesus did not rebuke him or chastise him and say, oh, don't say that. Because God is a jealous God and he will not share his glory with another. Thomas was stating a fact, the fact, that Jesus is unequivocally God in flesh. All right, now let's move a little further. Isaiah 43:10 says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Here it is again, tetragrammaton. And my servant whom I've chosen, that you may know and believe and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Boy, that really puts some people in a bind. A lot of people can say Jesus is God, but got to be careful. He said, before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Underline that, Savior. And right beside it, write Luke 2:11 in your Bible. What does Luke 2:11 say? The angels are declaring to the shepherds, this day is born in the city of David a Savior. Now Isaiah said about God, said to Isaiah, beside me there is no Savior. In other words, he said, other than me there is no Savior. And the angels declared to the shepherds, this day, today, is born in the city of David a Savior. Well, who is he? Christ, the Lord. Now, the Okies say the. That's important. It didn't say Christ a Lord, but Christ the Lord. That means the one of a kind, the only one. Are you with me? Pastor preached the other day about Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Remember that? And when, you know, Elijah killed 850 false prophets. 400 prophets of the go, 450 prophets of the groves, and 400 prophets of Baal. That's 850. And you know what the people said when the fire fell? The Lord, look it up, the Lord, He is the God. And they didn't say it once. They kept saying it. The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. What were they saying? He's the only God. He's the only God that can answer by fire. Okay. And so, here it is. That says, this is, by the way, Isaiah 43:10-11 is the key verse for the Jehovah Witnesses. They don't even have a clue. When I meet them, I say, I'm a Jehovah Witness, not you. When they talk to me, they said, oh, we're witnesses. I said, I'm a Jehovah Witness. You're not, but I am. Why? I know who the Lord is. Their Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. That's not in the text, my friends. If you add anything to it or take away anything from it, you add the curse of the book to you. And you can't change that. That's irrevocable. All right, so let's see, where was I at here? 42:8. My glory will I not give to another. 43:10-12. Okay. He said he's the only Savior. Luke 2:11 says, this day is born in the city of David a Savior. All right. I got to move along. Isaiah 44:8. Notice what he says. Fear you not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, have not declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. There is no God beside me. There is no God. I know not any. 44:24. Let's see what it says. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that redeemed thee from the womb, formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord, and that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Yet the New Testament teaches us that John says he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He is before him all things, and by him all things consist. So there's the scripture just keeps going down through it. Isaiah 45:5-6 says, I am the Lord. There is no God beside me. I gird thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord. Beside me there is none else. So it is concretely established. When God reveals himself, he identifies himself as the only God, the only Savior, the only King, the only Creator. Everything he said about himself in the Old Testament is fulfilled and spoken. Jesus speaks it of himself. Hallelujah. And so we concretely say Jesus is absolutely God himself. In fact, Jesus said it. I know I'm out of time. I got a bunch more here. But listen, Jesus was speaking in John the 8th chapter to the Pharisees. And he had this long discussion with them. And then he says, your father Abraham, John 8, about 56, says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. And the Pharisee says, well, look, Buster, you're not even 40 years old, and how do you know Abraham? And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. In fact, that is so important. Now, we're clapping, but it's important not just to clap your hands. You've got to understand that. And John 8:24, Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sin. Right. And on that I am business, Exodus 3, when Moses said, when I go meet Pharaoh and tell him the God of the Hebrews appeared to me and told me to tell you to let God's people go, and they say, well, what's his name? What shall I say? God said, you tell him, I am that I am has sent you. And you read it. He said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is my name forever. 7 times in the New Testament, Jesus said, I am. I am. Not I will be or I was. I am. Now, when they came to crucify Jesus and Judas betrayed him with a kiss, in John the 18th chapter, when they came, Jesus said, who are you looking for? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said, I am. And when he said, I am, they fell on their face to the ground. Bam! Why? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was standing before them. And that's why it's important. Maybe we'll take it up another time. I didn't realize time was going to go so fast. This is why John 14 is so critical. Jesus talked about the Father, and Philip said, Jesus, would you please show us the Father and we'll be satisfied? Jesus' answer is this. Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How come you're saying, show us the Father? Why could he say that? Because Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the Spirit made flesh. When I get to heaven, I'm going to see Jesus. And he's Lord of Lords, King of Kings. How about if you stand and just begin to love him today? You don't have to beat around the bush when you pray. Just go straight to Jesus. Jesus, I love you. Let's love Him right now. Jesus, I love you, God. Thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself to us, that we can know you, we can believe, and we can understand who you really are. Thank you, Jesus.